Heavenly Father, thanks for your word. Thanks that you have given us all of these words and these moments in history to understand who you are and what you've done in history. Help us as we look at these sections that it would help us to see again who you are as we see how Hezekiah relates to you in the midst of his circumstances. And please help us to understand what this tells us about how we can relate to you through Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, this section in Isaiah 36 to 39 is going to get us thinking about trusting God. Or more specifically, trusting God in the midst of challenges that come that cause us to maybe lack trust in God. So far in Isaiah, that we're kind of at the halfway point of Isaiah. And so far, in the first kind of 35 chapters, Isaiah has reminded the people of God's holiness and his power. And he's warned the people that God's judgment is coming. Judgment because of their sin, and judgment for all the nations that oppose God. But in the midst of that kind of scary moment, which is the dominant theme, there's also a reminder of how faithful God is to his people, and that he promises to act for their good, to protect them from their enemies. And so, you know, throughout Isaiah, that first section, the kind of the right response that the people should have is that they're to turn to the Lord and trust him in the midst of everything that's going on. To trust him, not the nations, and so act in obedience and faith to the Lord. Now, we know from the beginning of Isaiah that they're not going to respond that way, but that is the picture painted for us. And so that's the context of all the chapters, you know, from the beginning of Isaiah through to chapter 35. And then I think from chapter 36 to 39, we switch to this narrative. And I think what's going on here is that the function of this section is to see a real example of what it looks like to act trusting God in the midst of everything that's going on. It's a real example of what the prophet's been telling the people to do in the first half of Isaiah. So we've moved from these visions to a narrative, and we see Hezekiah kind of playing with live ammunition. He's facing the threat of Assyria, the powerful nation, as well as other challenges that are going on. And so we see, will he learn from what Isaiah's been saying? Will he trust the Lord, or won't he? And it's a pertinent question because Hezekiah, his father, is the one who's kind of been in the background of the first section of Isaiah, Ahaz. And Ahaz had been placed in the same situation back in Isaiah chapter 7. Israel and Aram were at the doorstep of Jerusalem, threatening to destroy it. Here we've got Assyria at the doorstep. And I think we're supposed to compare Hezekiah and Ahaz, because they both have meetings with people at this weird detail about the aqueduct and the washer's field. It's just to help us remember Ahaz from back then. And what happened with Ahaz? Well, he didn't trust the Lord. He put his reliance on Assyria to deliver him out of his problem. And it didn't turn out well because now Assyria are at the doorstep again, threatening Jerusalem. And so in this section that we've got here, 36 to 39, Hezekiah is facing challenges, and we're going to see whether he turns to the Lord or not, and what we learn about the Lord. And so with that in mind, as we think about, you know, Hezekiah facing challenges and how he responds, what are the things in life that challenge us and our trust in God? The things that confront us, that make us question God's power or God's goodness. The things that cause us to look for human solutions. And as we look to those solutions, it can kind of cause us to drift away from trusting the God who made us. Sometimes that's the challenge of the world around us. The kind of the strong social and political pressures that we feel. It feels really strong and overwhelming. How can we keep trusting God in the midst of abortion laws that come in and euthanasia laws and increasing interest rates and life that kind of pushes us towards materialism and money? Is God really in control if that's what's going on? Some of these challenges, they feel just so strong. It's easy to just get swept along with the tide, isn't it? Or maybe it's more like personal issues that cause that challenge, where we question God's goodness. Where is God when my life is seemingly falling apart? A lost job, broken relationship, persistent rounds of sickness that come at this time of the year. Life brings challenges. And when we face them, what's our natural instinct? Is it to turn to God or to take control ourselves? To believe that the solution for our situation lies in the promises of the world. You know, the world that promises that blessing is found in good financial stability or a fulfilling job or relationship or good health. In this section of Isaiah, Hezekiah faces challenges. The pressure of the nations around him, the frailty of health and life. And so as we look through this section, we're going to be reminded by why we should keep trusting in the Lord. So let's turn to Isaiah and we're going to look at Hezekiah and how he relates. But first, a quick reminder of who Hezekiah is. Hezekiah is the king who follows Ahaz, who's kind of the main king in the scene in this first section of Isaiah. And you can read more about Hezekiah in 2 Kings 18 to 20. In fact, a lot of what is in 2 Kings 18 to 20 is what we have in Isaiah. The kind of narrative seems almost identical. There's a bit more included in Isaiah as well, though. And what we know from 2 Kings is that Hezekiah is a good king. That is, he does what is right in the eyes of the Lord. He's faithful. He's obedient. He destroys the pagan altars that his father had that was set up in the land. We're told that he trusted the Lord, that he followed him faithfully. And he's on the throne when Assyria, that sort of dominant force, northeast, when that dominant force come in and wipe out the northern kingdom of Israel, Hezekiah's on the throne. He sees that happen. Assyria is still that main player on the stage. And because of an agreement that Ahaz, Hezekiah's father, had set up between Assyria and Judah, Judah is kind of like a servant state of Assyria, paying them money for protection. But we read in 2 Kings that Hezekiah rebels against Assyria. We read from our passage that he does so by forming some political alliances with other nations against Assyria. Chapter 36, verse 6, we're told that Hezekiah is depending on Egypt to save them from Assyria. And in chapter 39, that we have this visit from these Babylonian envoys. And I think part of that visit is to set up an alliance. And so I think actually chapter 39 chronologically happens before chapter 36. Because then Hezekiah, with these alliances with Egypt and Babylon, does this rebellion, and Assyria comes and destroys Judah. That is all the surrounding towns in the nation apart from Jerusalem. And we read in 2 Kings that Hezekiah, to keep Assyria away from Jerusalem, he gives them a bunch of money from his storehouses, all the gold and silver that's in the treasury. Yet, we read here and in 2 Kings, it's not enough to hold back the king of Assyria because he then lays siege to Jerusalem. And that's where we are in Isaiah 36. Hezekiah and God's people facing the pressure of Assyria coming to knock the door down, a challenge to their trust in God to deliver them, to protect them. And so Hezekiah faces not only external pressures and challenges, but also personal challenges and also some temptations. And we'll look at each of those things in turn. So first, let's consider the external challenge that Hezekiah faces. Now, of course, the external challenge is that the attack of Assyria, the siege. And the challenge is whether to trust in the Lord or to trust in Assyria and bow the knee to them. To trust in the power of the Lord or to trust in the power of these external forces present in the world. And so when these worldly challenges come, who do we turn to? Who do you trust to protect you? Who do you trust to give you blessing and the life that you want? In chapter 36, we see what happens for Hezekiah. The field commander of Assyria comes and he challenges whether God can really protect his people. And he lists this whole bunch of reasons why Jerusalem should doubt God's ability to protect them from Assyria. Verse 6 of chapter 36, they're relying on Egypt, that broken reed. They're not able, Egypt isn't able to help. In fact, Assyria had just won a decisive battle against Egypt. They're no help. Verse 7, the people are depending on God, but didn't Hezekiah just destroy a bunch of his altars? Isn't God going to be mad? Verse 8, Jerusalem is actually really small and weak if you think of them as a military. They don't even have enough horse people to put on the sort of excess horses that Assyria have. And verse 10, didn't they know that God's actually called them to come and destroy Jerusalem? All these things meant to demoralize the people. God's not going to help you. But the key reason that the king of Assyria gives is in verse 18 of chapter 36, where he makes the challenge really explicit. Verse 18, do not let Hezekiah mislead you when he says the Lord will deliver us. Has the God of any nation ever delivered his land from the king of Assyria? The king of Assyria is claiming to be more powerful than God. That's what he's saying, isn't it? Don't rely on the Lord. He cannot protect you from me. Ask all those other gods who I've conquered. Your God can't deliver his promise to you. The challenge is, external forces, in this case Assyria, claim that they have more power than God. And so they threaten God's people to get them to give up on God and instead bow the knee to them. Which is the same in our world today, I think. The big institutions and social framework and forces that govern us tend to challenge us because they say that they're the sources of ultimate power. The unis in our world, in our country, that deny that God is real or question whether he's good, and that we instead need to follow their program of secular enlightenment. For that's where real world-shaping power is found. Education, social progression, that's where real power is found. And if you don't follow them, well, then you'll be subject to the cancel culture of those things. You'll be labeled a simpleton, narrow-minded, not inclusive. These external forces challenge where we put our trust. Are we going to trust God and do what he says? Or are we going to follow their powerful ways? And that's been the challenge for God's people throughout this whole section of Isaiah. Isaiah's been reminding the people that the Lord's the one in control. He's the one who will bring judgment. He's the one who will overcome all these external forces. And so we see here Hezekiah's response to this challenge of worldly power. He's obviously heard the warning of Isaiah. And so he ignores Assyria and instead relies on the Lord. When experiencing that pressure of Assyria, he turns to the Lord in prayer. And we see that in chapter 37. He knows that the Lord is not just some lifeless and powerless idol like the gods of the nations. He is the living God, the creator God, the ruling God. And Isaiah confirms that the king is right to trust in the Lord as we see things play out in the latter half of chapter 37. The king of Assyria is no match for God. In fact, the Lord is the one who has given him all these victories that the king of Assyria is boasting in. Verse 26 of chapter 37. The Lord says, have you not heard? Long ago I ordained it. In days of old I planned it, and now I've brought it to pass that you have turned 4 to 5 cities into piles of stone. All your victories that you're boasting in, I gave them to you. God is the creator and ruler over the king of Assyria. King of Assyria is not in charge.